Thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. Thank you. Utah, that's where the fatal bullet was shot. So God is speaking to us today. We've been singing, one of the songs is the gratitude that says we have a lion inside of our lungs. And then the declaration is what? Hallelujah. Get up and
praise the Lord.
So here's what I want to do. Pastor always makes you stand up again, so just go ahead and stand up. Here, listen to what I'm saying. I'm not wanting you. I'm not just saying I want you to praise the Lord. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is I want you to release a praise to the Lord. And I want us to do that. I want the band to just give us that roar. And I want you to roar with whatever God gives you as praise to Him. And I want you to do it. 3, 2, 1. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Did you get it all out? Did you get it released? 3, 2, 1. Yes, God! Yes, Lord! Yes, God! Thank you, Jesus. Some visitors back here, a whole line of them that are just actually just clapping and praising God. 3, 2, 1. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Thank you. I don't have any more 3, 2, 1, so you may be seated. Amen. I think we need to understand that our praise should be a release. That's what's on the inside. Not just praise the Lord, but no, a praise to the Lord, a praise for the Lord. Does that make sense? Don't we have a wonderful praise team and media team? We just thank you so much. Thank you for the hard work that you put in. Thank you so much. And I want to thank Pastor Charlie for what he shared right before the gratitude concerning Charlie Kirk. I know that our hearts are heavy. Someone heard someone say, he's just a man. Yeah, he's a man, but he wasn't just a man. He was a man of God. Listen, at age 18, he started Turning Point at 18 years old. For 13 years, PowerPoint's been going on. Being able to speak the truth, to challenge young people. And how he challenged them was like, let's talk. Let's just talk. He didn't ridicule, it wasn't really a debate for him. He was just letting them talk, and then he would give them the truth. Just simple truth, without degrading, without anything, but he'd just give them simple truth. But anyway, he really touched the younger generation. engaged in open dialogue and inspired millions of people. And he was a vessel that God used to bring in young people. I'm telling you, there's young people all over the world today that have been impacted by that man. And he was slain, martyred for his freedom, for his faith, and for his free speech. And what the Lord's given me concerning that is I think we need to do something. He gave me two scriptures, reminded me of two scriptures. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. So he's more alive today. Charlie Kirk is more alive today than he ever has been. And along with everybody else that has died serving the Lord. But then he goes on and he said, everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. So he is more alive than he's ever been, and he will never die. And that's where we're headed. Amen, that's where we're headed. Second thing the Lord gave me was this, this verse. It said, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground, falls to the earth, and dies, unless it does, it will abide alone. But if it falls to the ground and dies, here's what the Lord says about it. If it dies, it produces many others and yields a rich harvest. And I do believe what the Lord wants us to do is pray right now for, number one, pray for revival. Pray for revival in our nation and all over the world. The Lord impacted through him nations globally. And there's vigils and people praying and getting together in honor of the Lord, in honor of the man of God. And so we need to pray for revival for the nation. We need to pray, this John 12:24, that we need to pray for this death of this seed, his seed, to reap, to bring forth a great harvest. So we need to pray that into existence. Yes, Lord, bring it in. I honestly believe we're going to see revival. We're going to see millions of people. We're going to see youth come. Actually, already we're seeing youth come now, unprecedented. It is like they're just flocking into the thing. And by the way, Charlie Kirk, you know what it means? Church. It's a Scottish thing for church. So I think God is speaking to us. I know God's speaking to us. So we need to pray for that. We need to pray for the awakening of believers. And I honestly believe that that is happening as well. So we need to continue to pray for the awakening of believers. And we need to pray for the church to be able to be transformed, to transform into the glory of who he is, his glorious bride. We need to be transformed into that. So let's stand to our feet and let's give some time in prayer. I know I'm standing, I'm making you stand up again. It's okay. You get your exercise with me. All right, so first I want you to just, I don't want you to just hold back. I want you to pray. If you want to get in groups, you can. It doesn't matter. But I want you to start praying for revival for this entire world. Begin to pray for the revival to be released. Go ahead and do that now. Don't wait on me. Go ahead and do it. A voice is all over. Be a voice. This is part of your praise, that you're trusting God to hear your prayers. Bring the revival, Lord. Bring the revival. Bring those that don't know you, that are confused about you, that don't even like you. Bring them. Bring them, Lord. Bring them to your love. Bring them to your salvation. Now I want you to pray I want you to pray John 12:24 that this seed will yield a great harvest. A great harvest. Bring in that great harvest, God. Bring in that harvest. It's wide open. You are the Lord of the harvest. You are God. Bring in that harvest. Bring in young people. Bring them in, Lord. Bring in older people. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the north, south, east, and west. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in. You know, the Bible talks about that he would stand. He would stand and whistle for those to come in. Who can whistle in here? Whistle loud. Whoever. Yes. Yes, Lord. The Bible talks about the Lord will whistle. Bring them in. Bring them in. The doors are open. Bring them in. Bring them in. Pray for the awakening of believers to live a life. Listen to this. To live their life out loud for Christ. And I'm speaking about all of us, all the believers, that an awakening would come and we would live our life out loud. Not a quiet Christian, but an out loud Christianity. Yes, Lord, bring it. Use us. Excuse me. And pray for the church to transform into that glorious bride. That we would bring him glory. Bring us to a transformation. Not just salvation only, but transformation. Transformation. Transform us, Lord, into your glorious bride. To give you glory. I believe the Lord is saying there's been a transfer of the torch. There's a transfer of the torch from him to Charlie and from Charlie to us. To us. Be the voice. Be the voice, his voice. Let him use your voice, my voice, for his glory and his kingdom in Jesus' name. Can you agree with that? Say amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated if you can. If you can. All right, all right. Before I get started, I do want to say one thing. We have a very special person with us, and I want to acknowledge them. You know, this church was built on the prayers and the heartfelt burden of five couples, and we have one member of those five couples with us today, Joanne Norville. Joanne, thank you so much for your hard prayers. Thank you so much. Stand up so the people can see you. Just stand up so we can see you. Thank you. That's part of our heritage. That's part of it. They prayed long hours for this to happen. We stand on their prayers and their sacrifice. Thank you. Thank you. And Phyllis Loveless, thank you so much. Thank you. Standing on the shoulders of these wonderful people. Gratitude. Grateful for people that helped usher you into where you are today. That was one of the things that the Lord had asked me to do earlier on in my life. And I told you about it. You know, one said, anybody that you did wrong, I want you to write their name down and I want you to go make it right. Listen. I didn't have a small piece of paper. I had a ledger. Because I was crying out, God, I don't want a Christianity that actually is lukewarm. I want one that is passionate, that is fervent for him, that will be able to make right what I've done wrong. And the second thing was this one, is the thing about write down every person that helped you get to where you are today. show gratefulness to those people. I remember going to a couple. I was 8 years old. Father was killed in a car wreck. This couple at church, this couple kept me and my brother. My sister stayed with my mom. But they kept me and my brother for about 3 weeks and took care of us because mother was at close to having a mental breakdown. And I remember, I knew where they lived. And I remember, I said, I don't know if they live there or not, but they're on my list. I knocked on the door, and they came to the door. And that's so heavy, that couple came. And I asked them if it was them. Yes. And I said, well, I'm Odell Howell's oldest boy. And they just melted right where they were. Invited me in, and they told me more about my dad that I knew on my own at age eight. Now, I'm in my 30s at this time. So I had to give them thanks. They wanted, hey, she wanted to go bake cookies. I said, I don't need cookies. I just need your fellowship. She said, well, I've got some already made. And I said, well, I'll go ahead and take them then. You know, but but showing the gratitude, and it wasn't much long after that, they went on home to be with the Lord. So anyway, why do I share that? Because God is wanting us to live out loud. God is wanting us to do the things that we don't normally think about. But when the Holy Spirit begins to teach you and talk to you and lead you into places that you don't normally go, you need to go. You need to go do it. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you today about finishing this thing about understanding forgiveness, if I can get through with it. We said said this, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Malice is evil intent. Evil intent, that's malice. You have an evil intent to do something. I intend to do something. He said, put that away. Put that away. The 32nd verse says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted means compassion. Forgiving, watch this, forgiving each other just as God and Christ has also forgiven you. So how do you forgive people? Just as he forgave you. How did it? All right, let's go on. Colossians 3, having been chosen of God, holy and beloved. Listen to that. You're holy and beloved. He said, having been chosen of God, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another. And I think one translation says forbearing. Bearing with one another. And forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint offense against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. So now you begin to see, okay, my forgiveness is just like, oh, I forgive you. No, forgiveness is much deeper than words. Much deeper than words. It is words, but it's much deeper than words. Forgive, this word forgive is a compound word in the Greek, and it's part of it is grace. The grace of God, grace. And the other part of the word is completely rescue from obligation. Think about that. What you're doing is you're completely rescuing the person from any obligation to you because of what they've done. That's the depth. That's the depth of that word, forgive. That's the depth. So, and we are grace. We're showing the grace of God. And matter of fact, we're being empowered by God to be able to go do it. That's what grace is, the empowerment of the divine. To completely, not part, but to completely, do it complete. Y'all got it? Rescue from obligation. It means that this forgiveness is willful and gracious pardon and release of wrong done. A willful and a gracious pardon and release of wrong that has been done. See, sometimes, you know, I forgive you, but I'll never forget it. It's almost like there ain't no grace in that. God never told you and I to forget it. We'll get to that point in just a minute. But see, there's no grace in that. There's no grace. See, he wants us to be a people filled with the grace of God, not filled with animosity, with bitterness, with hate, holding grudges and resentment. That's not who we're supposed to be. Another way to put it is forgive, to willingly and graciously give up your desire to punish someone. I give it up. No punishment. What we're doing is saying, I'm not going to punish you for what you've done. There may be consequences for what they've done, but the consequence is not going to be my punishment for them. So I graciously and willfully give it up. I give up the desire to get even, to get back. See, we make forgiveness way too shallow. God makes it deep. It's a deep thing. So let's look at this thing. So here's some things from last week. Forgiveness is canceling the debt that is owed us. Forgiveness is removing the control of the offender over you. They don't have control over you anymore. Forgiveness is giving a gift to yourself and to your offender. Forgiveness is forsaking revenge. What do you have to do with revenge? Forsake it. No, I graciously gave it up. Forgiveness is healing, is leaving ultimate justice in God's hand. He's just, but the ultimate justice is in God's hand. Forgiveness is an ongoing process. You remember Peter? This guy, I done had to forgive him 7 times in one day. Can you imagine that? 7 times. And Jesus' answer, what? Peter, it's not 7 times. It's 70 times 7. Which, it's not about a math equation. It's about it's unlimited. It's unlimited forgiveness. It's unlimited. There's the line. No, there's no line. Did he draw a line for you? Did Jesus draw a line for you? I forget everything, but this thing that Terry did, I just don't know that I can do that. You hear me? No, he didn't do that. He forgave. Forgiveness is a decision of the heart, not a feeling. Well, I'll do it when I feel like it. You probably will never feel like it. If you want to go by feelings, forgiveness is a decision that you make. Willful, gracious pardon. Willful, gracious decision. Forgiveness is well doing good for your offender. That thing about praying for their welfare. When I talked to you about that last week, I said pray. Israel's in bondage in Babylon. He says, pray for the city's welfare, and when you do that, therein you will find your welfare. Why? Because you're praying for the one who's holding you captive. You're praying for their welfare. The one that's making the offense, you're praying for their welfare. Think about it. I mean, this kingdom's upside down from rational logic. But it's a kingdom. So you begin to see that forgiveness is obeying God and mirrors his mercy. You want to mirror God's mercy? Obey him and forgive him. It's our obedience to him. And it's from the heart, not from the head, and not from feelings. It's from your heart, your core being, from deep down inside, with all of who you are. Let's go on. Forgiveness is an open door to healing. Unforgiveness, well, I tell you what, there's a lot of things about unforgiveness. We might be able to get there today. If not, we'll get there next week. But forgiveness is an open door for healing. It'll be healing for you, and it'll be healing for them. Forgiveness, this is what, here we go, we're going to start. What? Forgiveness is not what? Forgiveness is not trust. Forgiveness and trust, two different things. Why? Forgiveness is given, trust is earned. That's one of Charlie Kirk's words, earn. earn the right to be able to speak into their lives. Earn the right to be able to say the truth. How do you earn that right? Be a follower of Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Next, forgiveness is for the past. Trust is for the future. Forgiveness for somebody did something. Trust is the response that we're going to have from here on. Trust is about the future. Trust is earned by trustworthy actions. How is that? What actions? Acknowledge damage. If you want to earn somebody's trust, here's some things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to acknowledge the damage that you've done and the wrong that you've done. Acknowledge it. Don't try to excuse it. Well, I was. Don't make excuses. You have to acknowledge the damage that you've done. If you have violated somebody with untrustful things and offended, he said, acknowledge the damage and the wrong done. Acknowledge pain caused. Acknowledge that what you did. And if somebody did, here's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to acknowledge that they caused pain. Oh, you need to get over that. That was nothing. What are they doing? They're justifying their actions. What's that mean? You can't trust them. Why? Because they're not acknowledging that they hurt you. Followed by genuine remorse and repentance. Genuine remorse and repentance. Genuine remorse and repentance. That's what the prodigal son had. Prodigal son didn't just decide, I'm going to go back home. I'm tired of eating slop. I'm tired of eating. No, he came to the end of himself. He realized that his father had everything. And he said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go to my father's house. But how is he going? To be a son? Nope. He didn't go to be a son. He said, make me a servant. I'm just coming back as a servant. He said, I'm giving all that up. Just make me a servant. You hear that? So it's genuine remorse and genuine repentance. Then it goes on. It says, take responsibility. People that's made the offense, you and I need to take the responsibility if we've done something wrong. Be responsible. Keep your word. Tell your neighbor, keep your word. Tell your other neighbor, keep your word. You got one behind you, tell them, keep your word. One in front of you, tell them, keep your word. Keep your word. What does that mean? So when you give your word, what do? What? Finish it up. If you gave your word, do it. Keep your word. Your word is gold. Because I said I would. He remembers that message, don't you? I preached a message years ago, said, because I said I would. Why are you doing that? Because I said I would. Yeah, but then, because I said I would. Because I said I would. Do you hear what I'm saying? I use the story with Anton, not Anton, Antoni. About basketball, he was signed up for VBS. Y'all heard me say that. Signed up for VBS, and during that time, he said, "Pastor, he loved basketball." He said, "The gang is getting together, the school's getting together, and they want me to come and play basketball." And I said, "Hey, great. When is it?" He said, "It's on Wednesday." I said, "This week?" He said, "Yeah." And I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "What's your problem?" I knew what his problem was. I said, "What's your problem?" He said, "Well, I said I'd do VBS, but I won't have another opportunity like that." I said, "Well, it's your decision. It's your decision." But he remembered, because I said I would. He said, "Yeah, but I gave my word on that." And I said, "Well, does your word mean anything?" He said, "Yes, sir." And I said, "Fulfill the word that you gave." You know, that's what he did. He told his guys, I can't play. Why? Why is that? I signed up for VBS and I got to do that. Oh, you can do that anytime. You, No, I gave him a word. Let your word mean something. When you say you're going to do something, do it. I'm going to get off of that because I got more to talk about. Open communication. Keep your word. Open communication. There needs to be open communication if you're going to build trust. Commitment. There's got to be a commitment to healing. If you've done somebody wrong and you've hurt them, you got to commit to their healing. Honesty, integrity, transparency, consistency, reliability. Trust is built on truth. No truth, no trust. Trust is built on truth. No truth, no trust. Oh, my goodness. That's just about trust. Well, what else is not? Forgiveness does not mean the relationship is instantly restored. People get messed up with forgiveness that they got wrong thinking, because if they forgive, that means everything goes back to the way it was. Trust is different. Forgiveness is given. Trust is earned. It may never go back to the way it was. Forgiveness is not a response to an apology. In other words, you don't have to wait for somebody to apologize because it's, oh, I apologize, I hurt you. Well, now I can forgive you. Well, that ain't real forgiveness. You hear me? It's not a response to an apology. They may never apologize. They may never say, I'm sorry. Never, ever, ever. But you and I are instructed by the Lord to what? Forgive. Willingly, graciously, give up any desire for them to be punished. I'm going to make them live hard. Okay, you're going to be the one that lives hard because we're disobeying what God has been telling us to do. What's next? Forgiveness is not about keeping score, but about losing count. Keeping score. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to forget it, but you don't keep score on it. Keeping score is the attitude of, I'm going to win. You're going to win. You're going to come out on top. You're going to come out the victor by keeping score. No, no. By the way, the Bible says that love does not keep a record of wrong done. Love does not keep a record. Forgiveness does not keep score. We are some of the best people because we're people. We're some of the best people that we can remember stuff that happened to us back in 1965 on such and such a date. I remember. How many know I'm telling the truth? Yeah. It didn't say you had to forget it, but what should we not do? Keep score. In other words, because at the end of the game, you're going to make sure they know it. And that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness keeps no score. It's about losing count. It's about losing count. What's next? Forgiveness is not certain. Is not certain conditions met before you forgive. I will forgive them if they do this and this and this and this. No. See, that is called manipulation. I'm going to give you forgiveness if you do this and this and this and this and this. Now, forgiveness is, I'm going to give it to you. You're free. You don't owe me anything. Don't owe me anything. Y'all, you hear what I'm saying? I don't know. Pastor, this is hard. It's him. His yoke is easy. Put it on. He said, take my yoke upon you. He didn't say, I'm going to give you my yoke. I'm going to give you what governs me. I'm going to give it to you. And he says, no, you take it. You take what governs me and you yoke up with it. Okay. All right. What's next? Forgiveness is not denying, dismissing, nor approving evil. People don't forgive because, no, I'm letting them off with it. What you are for you. But it doesn't deny something was wrong. People won't forgive because of that. But he said, no. It is not denying, dismissing, or approving evil. Forgiveness is not enabling sin. Now, if I do that, if I give them forgiveness, they may do it again. Probably will. Peter said, this guy done this to me 7 times in a day. Peter, it ain't about you keeping this record. It's about you forgiving. 70 times. It's unlimited. Unlimited. Forgiveness does not eliminate consequences for injustice. Yeah. How about the thief on the cross? You remember what happened to him? Father, forgive me. Forgive me. And what did he tell him? This day, you'll be with me in paradise. But what happened? But he was he forgiven? Was he forgiven? Five of you. Was he forgiven?
Yes.
That's all of you, I think. All right. All right. So he was forgiven. He was forgiven, but what did he have to do? He still had to pay the consequences for his breaking the law. Why? Because the law is part of God's authority. He said the government, policemen, they're ministers of God. The next time a blue light comes on, you can say, here comes a minister of God. You laugh, but somebody's going to come up and tell me. Why is that? Why is that? Because he said, no, they're ministers. That's what the Bible says. And he said, they're ministers of God. Because they've been put there to help you and I. Oh, my goodness. They're just so there's so much more. You don't have much more time. But see, it does not eliminate consequences. See, people say, well, you know, this hurricane came and it was the judgment of God. I don't believe that. The judgment of God was on Jesus. For every sin. Which one? Every single one of them. Judgment. The wrath of God was on Jesus. Now, there is something in the Bible that says, you shall reap what you sow. So if we continue to reap to the wind, what will we get? The whirlwind. If we continue to reap to the flesh, what will we get? Corruption. So you reap what you sow. You're still a Christian. But he said, if you sow, see, it's not the judgment of God. It's the principle of God saying there are consequences to continue to do evil. It doesn't eliminate it. Somebody did you wrong and it's against the law. Guess what? Consequences are still there, but you forgive them. I remember, it just came to my mind. I remember it had been years ago talking to a lady. She was a church member. It's been several years ago. And she was being abused by her husband. Physical abuse. And she said, Pastor, she was bruised up, beat up pretty bad, and it's been about the second or third time and things of that nature. She said, what should I do? Tell me what should I do? And I said, forgive him. What? Forgive him. And then call 911. That's exactly what I told her. Why? Why? Because he broke the law. It does, her forgiveness does not minimize what he did. It doesn't do away with it, but she won't hold it against him, but the law will. I said, call the police. What? I said, yeah, forgive him and call the police. I don't want her to be beaten anymore. Who are they calling? The ministers of God. All right, just so we're on the same page here. Let's keep going. Let's keep. Are you getting anything out of this? All right. Let's go. Forgiveness does not prevent felt pain. It won't take away the pain that you feel that they gave you. But it will do one thing. It will start the healing for you. It won't go away instantly, but just because you forgave, you'll still feel that pain. But it'll start your healing. Why now? Because they're not controlling you anymore. Because you have released them. So it's not eating you alive. It's not imprisoning you for not forgiving. And so when you do forgive, pain won't instantly go away. But it'll start your healing process. How many of you know that's the truth? All right. Me too. What's next? Forgiveness is not covering up and acting like it isn't there. Cover it up. Because I'm afraid of the consequences that they may give me. Cover it up. That's not forgiveness, to cover it up and pretend that it didn't happen. That's like I heard one man say, the river, the Nile. And he said it this way. He said, denial is a river in Egypt. Never mind. It stuck with me. Denial is a river in Egypt. So don't be denied. All right, forget it. It's not a cover up. Boy, I could go some things about, concerning the assassin's bullet. It was family that didn't deny that their son or their relative did it. Do you hear the weight of that? Anyway, don't pretend it's not there. Forgiveness is not covering up crimes committed against you. We talked about a little bit about that. Forgiveness is not forgetting. No, well, the Bible says forgive and forget. No, it don't. No, it doesn't tell you that. The Bible does say this. I want to share something with you on this. I've already covered about four pages. Here I am. Forgiveness. They say, let it go. Forget about it. Where's Eileen? Eileen, forget about it. Yes. Forget about it. You don't bring it up for punishment. Forget about it. I get it. Hebrews tells us this. He says, I will be merciful toward their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. Who's saying that? God, I will remember their sins no more. We misunderstand this passage. We really do. I will remember their sins no more. So people will say, well, we got to be like God. So we can't remember them anymore either. God never can tell you that. Let me tell you something about God. Do you know he's all-knowing? Is he all-knowing?
Yes.
He doesn't have a memory loss. He doesn't. I know we tend to think that way, but we have to understand, what does this thing about remember mean? Helps us over in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 17. It says this, you have cast all my sins behind your back. You have violently thrown all of my sins behind your back. When you study that passage and you study that thing about remember, do you know what he's saying? He's not saying he has a memory loss. No, he's all-knowing. He can't be all-knowing and have a memory loss. You with me? So what is he saying? He said, what he's doing, what is this thing about casting it behind his back? What is this thing? He said, what he's saying? He said he's making the choice to take your sin, cast it violently behind his back, and never to bring it up between you and him again. never bring it up. Between Jonathan and David, you know, being friends, and do you know, I think Jonathan was the one that said it. He said, only the Lord be between us. Nothing's going to be between us. Only the Lord be between us. Wow. It was talking about covenant. Only the Lord be between us. So what is he doing about, I'm not going to remember? No, it's what he's saying. He said, I'm not going to reach back and get one of your sins and pull it back over here and remind you of it. Now, the Holy Spirit will convict you of righteousness. He convicts the world of sin, but he'll convict you of righteousness. Was that the righteous thing to do? Was that the God thing to do? Terry, when you lost your temper, was that the God thing to do? Was that? What is righteousness? So do the righteous thing. So that thing about remembering no more, he says, he forfeits the thinking about it. He forfeits ever thinking about it again. Why? It's behind him, not in front of him, not between you and him. When he looks at you, does he see sin? What does he see? He sees the blood of Jesus. When he looks at you, he sees the blood of Jesus, the blood of his son, covering you. Now, who's going to remind you of all this other stuff? The enemy's going to remind you. He's going to remind you of all this stuff. And there'll be people used of the enemy to remind you. But it won't be God. God said, no, I don't. That's back here. I'm not even thinking about that. I don't even think about that. Why? It's not that he forgets. He chooses not to remember, not to bring it up. Cast means to throw and to abandon, not to recall and not to mention. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Forgiveness does not mean they have to be in your life. If you forgive them, I gotta let them be in my life. It's not what that means. It means that you're not going to punish them for it, but they don't have to be in your life. Well, Pastor, is that being unloving? Do you trust them? See, this thing said forgiveness is not, here's it is, forgiveness is not reconciliation. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. I can reach out my hand to Larry for forgiveness. And I extend that out. But from he and I to be reconciled, what's got to happen? That's reconciliation. One wants to reconcile, the other one doesn't. You have done your part. I'm going to give you a verse for that. You have done your part to reconcile. You can't control him. But if he, we're reconciled. Nothing between us but the Lord. Or he can choose not to. We can choose to hold grudges. We can choose to hold resentment. Here's the verse, and I'm going to close. Where's that verse at? It's in the Bible. Here it is. This is not reconciliation. One person has to repent, the other person has to forgive. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all men. Your pursuit should be peace with everybody. And here's the verse, Romans 12:18. This is Paul saying, if possible, oh, I love this verse, if possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Everything that you can do, you've done. You've done your part. Your forgiveness is an invitation for reconciliation. Does that mean they got to be in your life? No. Why? Trust has to be earned. Trust has to be earned. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Did you get anything out of that today? God bless you. I hope you did. Take it to heart. You've heard the word. You've heard the word. Now what do we have to do? Do the word. Live it out. Live it out loud. Amen. Pastor Terry.
Just want you to know, every time you talked in third person about there, about Terry needs to do this and Terry needs to do that, that whole section back there is looking at me. Just so you know. But it could apply to me probably more than him, so I'll take it because I need that as well. A couple of announcements real quick before we get out of here. Trail Life Spaghetti Dinner and Cake Auction next week, September 21, following the morning service. Donation only, cake donation, sign up online, if you will, or you can sign up at the back. Just want to remind you, ICIT, that's In Christ Image Training, begins in January, so be thinking about that for your new year planning. And if you want to go ahead and sign up, you can sign up at the back or online as well. More details will be coming as well. Do we have any high schoolers in here today? If you're in high school, well, we got a special thing going on today at 2:30 down at the Family Life Center. We're all going to hang out and just fellowship, play some games, get to know one another, maybe even talk about this past week and what it meant to us and how we can apply it to our lives. So we invite all high schoolers from 9th grade to 12th grade to come down at 2:30 this afternoon, after lunch. So go eat a big lunch and then come back. Did you get a lot out of today's message? I know I did. Let's stand and pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace that we can forgive. Lord, you've never asked us to do anything that you didn't empower us to do. And so, Lord, we receive your forgiveness right now. And Lord, we're saying we're going to be conduits of your forgiveness, Lord. That we are going to be dispensers of your mercies and your grace. As the world grows darker, Lord, you're going to make us brighter and brighter because it's you in us that's making the difference, God. It's not about us, it's about you. And so, Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness and we thank you for calling us to be more like you and forgive as well. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are new here today, if this is your first time, make sure you go back and see Pastor Terry. He's got some nice gifts for you. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.